Hi, this is Pete Link. It's the Tuesday podcast here at churchandgospel.com, and I'm back here with my good friend, Dr. Ross Parker. How are you, Ross?
I'm doing all right. Good to be back with you.
Well, it's always a treat, and what we want to do with these Tuesday podcasts is deal with doctrine, and we're going to deal with a series of doctrines that is really dear to you, really important to you. What would that topic be?
Well, sure. So I thought that today we could walk through some issues with regard to relationship mm-hmm. between Christianity and philosophy, which
right.
it is dear to me in that philosophy is my area of expertise, where my PhD studies were done, and so I want to help us think through some of the relationships between Christianity right. and philosophy.
Because there is a mindset that philosophy is this secular outside force that threatens faithful Christianity. What would you say to that?
Well, yeah, I think that's right. So there is this fear may be too strong, though sometimes it is a fear or at least a concern about philosophy.
Right.
And so I think what I want to first start with is thinking about just what philosophy is. So if we're, so as a philosopher, I think that part of what we need to do is carefully define our terms. So maybe that's a good place for us to start.
So let's do that. The term philosophy is used in a lot of different concepts. It's, I don't know that it's a hip word ever, but it is certainly a word that shows up in many, many different areas. In fact, whether or not you studied philosophy, if you earn a PhD, you are a what?
A doctor of philosophy.
That's right. So let's be clear what you mean by philosophy here today.
Yeah, so I think one way to think about philosophy is by looking at the etymology of the word. Now, that's not always the best way to define a term, but in this case, I actually think it is helpful for us. So mm-hmm. philosophy is a term that comes from two Greek terms, the love of wisdom. So philosophy, I think, would be helpfully defined as the love of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So when we're thinking about philosophy, we're pursuing after wisdom. Now, we've got a couple of terms here that we need to unpack, and so I think wisdom is an important term that we need to think about with regard to philosophy.
I mean, wisdom seems to be something that everybody deals with, everybody talks about. But can wisdom, is it the same thing as knowledge? Is it about intelligence? Is it about making money? What is it that makes wisdom wisdom?
Right. So I think that's where we need to think about this question. I do think that wisdom is more than knowledge. So you might think, well, it just means knowing a lot of stuff. But I think we can think of kind of silly examples to point out that wisdom's not just knowledge. So I tell my students in philosophy class, look, if I sat down and memorized the phone book, now some of them may not be familiar with phone books, but
right.
but yeah, if I sat down and memorized
giant paperweights from the 20th century,
that's right. Full of phone numbers and people's names, I could memorize mm-hmm. all of those names and the phone numbers that go with those names. I would have a lot of knowledge. I would know a lot of facts,
right.
but I wouldn't be wise. In fact, I would be pretty unwise to spend all my time doing that. So I think wisdom is more than just knowing a bunch of things.
It's not just data.
Right.
So for example, as you know, everywhere we go now, companies collect all kinds of data on that. That doesn't make them wise unless they figure out something to do with that data, correct?
That's right, yeah. So I think of wisdom as involving knowledge. We need
right.
to know certain things to be wise, but it goes beyond that. And specifically, it's knowledge that's connected with the really important questions of life. So we can think about, we intuitively get that the number of blades of grass in my backyard, as a philosopher has given, that's not an important fact. But how I should treat my family, that is an important
right.
bit of knowledge to have. And so the knowledge that's connected with wisdom is knowledge about the important areas of life. And I think it's also knowledge about how we are to live in the world in which we find ourselves.
So how do we define importance? I want to get to this because this is really important, because not all information is the same. For example, if you have sons like I do, they are glad to teach you all the data from their video game that they did. Odds are that information will not affect them or me in 20 years. So what is it that ultimately makes something important?
Right. So what I think about when I think about this is a connected topic is the topic of a worldview. Mm-hmm. And so philosophers will talk about a worldview. And a worldview, simply put, is your view on the world, but specifically having to do with those fundamental questions. And so I think a helpful way to think about this is to just think about some fundamental questions that wisdom is seeking to provide answers for.
Right.
So Ron Nash, a philosopher, a Christian philosopher who I've learned from with regard to worldview thinking, he divides worldview questions into five categories.
Okay.
So one category is questions concerning theology. So questions about, is there a God? And if so, what is he like? Those would be questions that are important to answer. Whether or not there is a God and what God is like are questions that are significant. So wisdom would seek to find answers to those questions. So theology is the first category. The second category he looks at is the category of metaphysics. Now that's just a big philosophical term for the nature of reality. I think about the world around us, and I think of it in terms of creation, but other people see it as just the result of a random process. So what is your answer to the nature of reality around us? That's your metaphysic. And so knowing the nature of reality seems important. That seems like a fundamental kind of question. Do we approach this world as created, or is it the result of mere chance? There are also questions having to do with the topic of anthropology. So that's a third category that Nash gives. And that is just our understanding of man. Who are we? Do we have a soul? Do we survive our death? These questions about man, these are important questions because they're going to shape the way that we interact with our world, we live in light of answers to these questions. So that's the third category. The fourth category of questions and worldview questions is the category of ethics, or perhaps value even more broadly. So what things are valuable? What things are good? What actions are virtuous? What actions are vicious? What is sin? Is there objective right and wrong? These are all questions having to do with this category of ethics. And then the final category is the category of epistemology, or questions concerning epistemology. Again, another philosophical term, but the basic idea being the study of knowledge and justification for our beliefs.
So these are categories of important information that philosophy, the study or the love of wisdom, helps us focus on, right? Is that the
that's right. Yeah, so the essence is these questions are questions that everyone ultimately needs to wrestle with, and ultimately everyone has an answer to these questions, even if they haven't really thought about it. And that's because we're living in such a way that we're living with assumptions about these fundamental questions about the nature of God, the nature of reality, the nature of man, the nature of ethics, and the nature of how we know things.
So if you choose, for example, to not go to work and play video games all day, you have made an assumption about what life is about, even if you haven't carefully thought through it. It doesn't mean that playing a video game is in and of itself a bad thing, but philosophy can come along and say, have you thought about what you're doing in light of the things that are most permanent?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So that language of have you thought about, I think of philosophy as pushing us to be reflective on these important questions. And one more component of this, philosophy as a discipline deals with arguments.
Now,
when you hear argument, you may think of people yelling or throwing things.
Or politics.
Or a lot of... A lot of kind of loud, just back and forth, and that's not what we mean. We don't have to be angry when we argue. Philosophers, when they're thinking about arguments, are simply thinking about premises or statements that are given intended to support another statement, which is the conclusion. So we're trying to give reasons for our conclusions, give evidence for our conclusions.
So wisdom's got to involve some idea of truth. If arguments are part of it, what you're saying is good philosophy, good discussion about these subjects that you have really depend upon seeking after truth. Now, here's my question for you. Since a lot of people in our generation don't believe in truth, I mean, it seems that you've got a bit of an obstacle to really having a philosophical or a wisdom discussion at all.
That's right. And that really connects back with the conversation we had a while back about relativism. Mm-hmm. So I think that a fundamental assumption of philosophy is that there is a truth to be found. Now, this gets to the point of recognizing that there are different philosophical issues here. So in defending philosophy as a viable and an important part of Christian scholarship and even day-to-day Christian life, I'm not defending everything that goes by the name of philosophy.
That's right.
So I think that we tried to, last time we talked about relativism, lay out some problems for this relativist view of truth, that
right.
In the end, truth is objective, and the philosopher, the lover of wisdom, is seeking after the truth about these important matters.
Yes, and that's exactly, to me, kind of the dilemma is we want to take philosophy and treat all philosophies as the same, as part of a good or bad or otherwise. And really, ultimately, since everyone has a philosophy, whether they've thought through it or not, we need to begin to have discernment about what is the essence of good philosophy. What is the essence of the philosophy that most connects to reality, to truth, but also most connects to the scriptures?
That's right. Yeah, so a Christian philosopher is one who wants to seek after the truth. And so maybe it would be helpful to kind of just say a bit more about the concept of a Christian philosopher, because there may still be some specific reasons why people are concerned about that very language.
Right.
One thing that I think of is a biblical concern. Mm. So specifically, there is a passage in the book of Colossians,
right,
where Paul is warning about philosophy. So Colossians 2:8 in the ESV translation says this: "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ."
Well, that settles it. We need to stop the podcast
right
now.
Right. So, yeah. You might think, look, this just settles the issue. Philosophy, it's bad. It's going
right
to guide us away from Christ. But I think we have to look at this passage in context. And it connects back with the point that I made, that in defending philosophy, I'm not defending all philosophies.
That's
and
right.
I think what we see here in this passage is that Paul is warning about philosophy. But as the ESV Study Bible points out in its note on this passage, the Greek here is actually puts the definite article in front of the word philosophy. So it's talking about beware of the philosophy.
Or that philosophy.
Or that philosophy. Yeah, a specific philosophy that's being espoused.
So and bad philosophy is the problem, not philosophy.
Well, that's the argument that I would want to make. That the concern is there are philosophies that are antagonistic towards Christian truth. We need to be aware of those. And so Paul is warning against a particular philosophical teaching that's facing this Colossian
right
church. But that doesn't mean we just throw out all philosophy.
So now, listen carefully, we have a biblical mandate here to push away bad philosophy. Now, the only way you push away bad philosophy is if you put in there some good philosophy. So you have a biblical mandate here to do good philosophy.
Right.
So anyone who says, as a Christian, I'm not going to do philosophy, well, take it up with Paul.
Right. Yeah, so this passage that sometimes you use to argue against the study of philosophy actually is encouraging us to do philosophy, but to do it well, to combat the false philosophies of our day. It makes me think of a quote, and I wanted to get to this quote because I love what C.S. Lewis has to say about the issue of philosophy. So Lewis, in one of his works, says this: "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason, because bad philosophy needs to be answered."
That's right.
And so Christians actually have a call to philosophy, to develop wisdom with regard to these fundamental questions.
Yeah, and so the larger point is we're not talking about having a philosophy governed by mere human reason, But we are saying that the Bible invites you to apply your reason to the principles embedded in the Scriptures. And so I think that's why what you're saying here is it's a perfect fit. And so that really, you know, most people are going to try to separate philosophy from Bible, theology from philosophy. So you want to pull them together.
That's right. I mean, in the end, I'm thinking of philosophy as this love of wisdom. And we see in Scripture this call that we are to seek after wisdom, to love wisdom. So these really work hand in hand. Philosophy, as an academic discipline, gives us some specific tools with regards to the analysis of arguments and connections between premises and conclusions, the importance of carefully defining our terms, the importance of analyzing the implications of a position. Mm-hmm. So philosophy helps us by pushing us to think through that if we hold to a particular position and that position has further entailments, that we need to trace those out. So those are tools that the study of academic philosophy gives us. But they go hand in hand. They're working together with what Christians are called to do, to develop a confidence in God and His Word and what He has revealed to us. And we have reason to be confident that God has revealed Himself in Scripture, and so we see Scripture as normative, as revealing to us truth. But thinking through the implications of scriptural principles, combating false doctrines that are taught in our world, these are tasks where philosophy is aiding us in the pursuit of our Christian life, as we are called to develop the Christian mind, to renew our minds, as Paul calls us to.
So what we've really done today is we've talked about what philosophy is. We've given some boundaries to the discussion, but when all said and done, what you said here in the last part is that if it's done rightly, if it's done according to the Word of God, if it's done by the power of the Spirit, that you are dealing with the worship of Christ when you do good philosophy. And so I think that's important. If you want to be faithful to Jesus on some level, your mind's got to be focused upon what He cares most about.
That's right. So in closing, I would say, yes, philosophy, the academic study of philosophy can be dangerous. In fact, there are many philosophers who are actively trying to lead people away from faith and making arguments against faith. But that shouldn't push us to give up on the study of philosophy or think that philosophy is unimportant. Rather, we should get clear on what true philosophy is, and that is the seeking after wisdom that ultimately is to be found in who God is and what He has revealed to us about His Word and through His Word about His world and about the salvation that comes through Christ.
Well, Dr. Parker, that was a great discussion, great explanation. Hopefully you've enjoyed learning a little about philosophy. It's one of the main components of how we design our Bachelor of Arts here. We want students to think about philosophy as they do their Bible. So we're grateful for your time here today.
Thank you so much for this conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Well, of course. Well, join us next Tuesday when we begin to deal with more doctrinal matters here on churchandgospel.com. Thanks for joining us.